You're listening to the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Now your host, Derek Ruskin.
All right, off and running on another Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Instant post-game reaction. The game just ended. The handshakes are happening as we record this now as Arkansas loses to Florida 57-51 at Bud Walton Arena. So that's where we're going to begin this edition of the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. And let me tell you something that really, really hurt Arkansas's chances of making that final run be the run that put them over the top. Okay? This is something that nobody else will notice. Nobody else. But it's a total screw-up that probably cost Arkansas this game. I'm not sure when they cut it to two, if they get another possession with a tight ball game, but instead of cutting it to two, they may have been tying or taking the lead if this had happened. Let's go back to the end of the first half, okay? Arkansas was trailing by, I think, 8 or 9 at that point. And they had the ball with the shot clock off and about 29 seconds to go. They go down. They take a fast shot. Instead of doing the only thing that anybody who's ever played basketball knows that you do when the shot clock is off in the final 30 seconds of a half, which is you play for the last shot. Don't give the other team a chance to build on a lead, especially when it's on that teetering point where it's single digits, double digits. You always want to go in trailing by, I think, single digits at halftime. You obviously want to go in leading at halftime, but if that's not possible, you'd rather go in trailing by single digits. It just feels more doable, the comeback in the second half, I think, when you're down for some reason. It's a psychology of seeing one number there instead of seeing 10, 11, or 30 or whatever that you're trailing by at halftime. So Arkansas is down by 9 with the ball with 30 seconds to go. Shot clock is either off or it's almost in sync with the game clock. Either way, you should have one more possession, and then the other team should be shooting an 80-footer at the buzzer that's not going to go in. So what does Arkansas do? They go down and they take a hurried shot for some reason, and then the ball bounces off of out of bounds. They probably got the call wrong on it out of bounds, but that shouldn't matter. You shouldn't take a shot 26 seconds to go in the half with no shot clock. I mean, that's the dumbest decision. And what happens? They end up going to the half down 11. They could have gone to the half down 7 or 6. Now play this thing out. If they're down 6 at halftime and they go on this big run late in the second half, they probably take the lead and win. So they lost the game with that colossal fog cue. Modern Family reference. A colossal fog cue at the end of the first half, and that's what got him beat. Well, that and the first 30 minutes of the game were unwatchable. This game was so weird because the first 30 minutes, I was actually rooting for the commercials. Like, I couldn't wait till the next commercial came so I didn't have to watch the game anymore. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, geez, it was just, the game violated the Geneva Convention, especially the first half. Like, they can't, I don't know if it's legal to show that on television. Oh, it's terrible. And Gafford got 2 shots in the first half. Now you're going to say foul trouble. Who cares? Well, why does Gafford not touch the ball every time go down the floor? What, are you trying to hide him? You're trying to, oh, we'll fake them out and we won't let our best player touch the ball in this possession. That'll fool him. What is going on with that? He should touch the ball. The offense should run through him. Not a guard taking a shot from 3 that's contested with 24 on the shot clock. Gafford finished with a 9. He took 4 shots in the game. A borderline lottery pick. Say it out loud, as Colin Cowherd would say. Say it out loud. A borderline lottery pick took 4 shots in a basketball game. How is that possible? You don't deserve to win if that happens. Okay? You just don't. Then the second half started, and it was a lot like the first half, which was just crap basketball. I mean, it looked like I've seen better shooting then the first half of this game at one of those church men league, you know, like Monday night is like a men's night at the church, at the gym that doubles as the fellowship hall with the carpeting on the gym floor. You know, they've got the baskets up and they play basketball on that short carpeting. Not the shag stuff that's like at your house, but that really short, like, business carpeting. That's what covers the basketball floor. And the ball makes that really weird noise when it bounces. You know what I'm talking about? So, like, Sunday is like a potluck at the church, and then Monday night is the men's league games. Like, there's better shooting there at First Baptist on a Monday night than we saw in the first half, especially from three. Both these teams were 6 of 26. It felt like Florida made 13 threes. They didn't. But that's what it felt like, because they made them at times that were really critical to the game. So this game, I was looking forward to the commercials for a while. It was so ugly and terrible. Low energy. Florida looked like a team whose coach challenged him a couple days ago, and he did. Mike White, it was all through the broadcast. It was in the paper about how I said, I trust three guys on this team right now. And I think Kayvon, that was a direct shot to Kayvon Allen to motivate him before this game, saying, get your butt in gear. And he did. Kayvon Allen with 18 and 4 free throws at the end to put the game away. How sweet must that be for Kayvon Allen to come in here and he's got the 4 free throws at the end to put the game on ice for the Gators in his last game at Bud Walton Arena, unless he gets granted like a 12th year of eligibility next year. People are going to go gaga over Mason Jones scoring 30. And I mean, that shouldn't have to, it shouldn't happen. Mason Jones shouldn't get a chance to score 30 because Gafford should get more than 4 shots in the game. I'm sorry. And then they put the stuff on. I guess we're going to see this all year about how young Arkansas is. Youth is not an excuse for playing like garbage. Like, that's not an excuse. You're on your home floor. Florida's not that good. And you basically no-show in the first half. Second half, you do on this comeback. And again, you would have won if you hadn't mishandled the end of the first half. Isaiah Joe didn't make his first basket till 12:47 in the second. I'm with Barry Booker on that, on Joe. A, he's a young kid, and it's not really good policy to start calling out the younger players by name. So I'm going to bury what Barry Booker said on TV. Like, when he looks as bad as he did, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Like, something's not 100% there with Isaiah Joe for him to have a performance like that. I don't know what it is. He's been too consistent. Now, maybe it's conference play and, you know, the defense gets tighter and it gets harder to get shots. Maybe that's part of it. 51 points at home. 51 points. Yikes. They end the game on a 19-9 run. That's pretty good, but they lost. But again, if they could have managed the end of the first half correctly. And I love that timeout they called with 4 seconds to go in the half to draw up the play where a guy runs down the middle of the floor and shoots a three right before they go. Like, no screening action, no motion at all. Just dribble it as far as you can and take the shot. That was a brilliant move. 1-1 in conference play. I have no doubt, by the way, that Arkansas will lose by 40 at Tennessee next week. Like, they're going to get the full Georgia treatment. I have no doubt about that. They can't score. They can't score. And Georgia's got two guys that are averaging about 20. And the defense is not at a level where it's going to travel well enough yet for Arkansas. 57-51. The final. No adjustments. The last 5 minutes of the first half looked exactly like the first 5 minutes of the second half. Nothing changed. Nothing got fixed at halftime. And the team that was actually on fire and had urgency and wanted to be there, Florida, they won. How can you not have urgency for a home game? How can you think after you beat a bad Texas A&M team by a couple points that you've got the world figured out? How can that happen? Because performances like that, you look like you expected to roll it out there and just beat Florida. Weird stuff. LSU on Saturday at Bud Walton Arena. This was a great game for the foul counters, too. You know who the foul counters are, right? What do we have here in this one? Again, we're recording this literally seconds after the game. 45 fouls in the game. That's not that bad. For a while there, it looked like we were headed towards 60 or 70 fouls. We have 45. That's fine. Can't blame the refs. Arkansas shot more free throws. Or can you? I don't quite follow all that. Look, when there's, and this was a game full of bad basketball, okay? It's hard to ref bad basketball. It is. And this was bad basketball from pillar to post. So, I find it difficult to blame those guys, A, ever, but B, especially when both teams are playing like garbage. I mean, what are you supposed to do? All right, we're just getting started here on the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Much more to do on this edition. Of course, you can hit that subscribe button and hear us on hitthatline.com. Hit that subscribe button, leave a review, do all that stuff. We would greatly appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the first episode. We're just getting started with this thing, and we hope you enjoy it as we keep moving forward. More to do here in a second. I'm Derek Ruskin. This is Ruskin is Ranting. So this is episode 2, and we haven't gotten to talk about Razorback football yet here on the new Ruskin is Ranting podcast. We haven't got to talk about 2-10 and what's next and Chad Morris and everything. And I think there may be some people who look at Clemson. And, you know, Chad Morris was at Clemson. And they go, well, he's going to do that here. There's a couple different things here about this. Number one is to think that anybody, Brent Venables, Chad Morris, whoever, who worked at Clemson, can take that and replicate it somewhere else. I think it's incredibly disrespectful to Dabo Swinney. It's a slap in the face to Dabo Swinney that anybody can just go do that at another place and win a couple of titles and make you a national contender at a place like Clemson with very little big-time history. I mean, they won it in 80 with Danny Ford, but that's it. Now they've got two with Dabo. I mean, you're just saying, well, Dabo did it. Some guy named Dabo did it. Anybody can. Dabo Swinney is one of the best coaches in the entire sport. That list, that club, that locker room doesn't have a lot of lockers in it. Saban, Urban's out because he's not active anymore. Dabo, and who else? Who else is one of the best coaches of all time that's currently doing it in college football? Waiting. Spurrier's not doing it anymore. Les Miles? No. Harbaugh? No. Malzahn? No. I mean, you can't. It seems like there's a lot of people that love to discredit what Dabo Swinney's built at Clemson for some reason. Maybe it's because his name is funny. He doesn't have like a powerful name like Chuck Mills or like Steve Anderson. That's a powerful name, right? Dabo Swinney's a weird name. So I think people think, well, I mean, that's a cute thing they've got there at Clemson. They're good. And they just coach circles around Nick Saban in Alabama. in the national championship game. So to assume, to have the arrogance to assume that, well, Morris can do that here. Stop it. Stop it. Now, I am on the record. I will say it here now for the first time on this record. I don't know what the Morris era is going to look like. I mean, it's obviously not off to a great start. But I have a couple of theories here. You know how long Clemson waited? They were patient with Dabo before they hit the big, big time. I mean, it was like 6 years. Now, let's all be grown-ups here for a second. You and I both know that no Razorback fan is going to be patient with mediocrity for 6 years. Even if on the backside of that, in years 8, 9, and 10, you're winning titles. No. You won't be patient enough. They're never patient enough here. Ever. I've watched it a long time. If you're not winning enough, they'll throw you out of here at 7-5 every year. Now, he's got a long way to go to 7-5. Let's get to a bowl game first, and then we can talk about 7-5. So I don't know what to make of what – I mean, people talk about the recruiting and everything, but, I mean, they're still ninth in the conference in recruiting. So, whoop. Whoop. I don't know. I mean, it's not off to a great start. There was no, and not all of last year. See, the easy thing to do last year was everybody say, oh, well, none of these players are buying in. Well, it's the coach's job to, like, get everybody pushing in the same direction. And it's got to be at least somewhat concerning that they couldn't do that at all. They got worse. They were horrible. It's the worst team I've ever seen. And they couldn't get... So that's got to be a little bit alarming if you're using your brain for a second here. That they couldn't get some buy-in. They got no buy-in. They don't have a quarterback. Well, they might, but they're going to be unproven. Unless the next Trevor Lawrence is rolling around with the... somewhere out there with this football team. We'll see. So, I don't know. But I think Morris could be good, but he'll just run out of time because Razorback fans just aren't patient. They're not going to wait 6 years for you to win 10 games. They'll throw you out of here before then. At least that's what I've seen. Because, remember, as it was proven at the last juncture here with Razorback football, if it gets really ugly, this is not the AD's call. The board will go around and say, okay, you're fired, and we're going to fire him. And Steinmetz is on board with that. We know which side he's on. So don't talk to me about, oh, it'll be different now. No. We know. If it gets ugly enough and the board gets honked off enough, they'll blow it up. They will blow it up. So here's the thing. Think about this. What if, and they could improve and still have a losing season this year. But what if they go like 5-7 this year and then 6-6 in the year 3? Nobody's going to be happy. You're not going to be talking about, whoa, that's just some progress. Progress. Come on. I know this state. I've lived in this state my entire life. I know how it works. And I'm the only person that'll tell you how it really works and be honest about it and not give you this pie in the sky nonsense that, well, this is going to be different. Stop it. If he has, he's not going to get 6 mediocre years, even if there's a big payoff coming on the other side. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Nobody gets 6 mediocre years here. People could say, and I can already hear some, well, what about Anderson? Well, I mean, get to the NCAA tournament, you're not mediocre. Okay? Andy Kennedy's mediocre. Flopping around in the NIT every so often. That's mediocre, okay? Anderson's not a mediocre coach. So that's why he's still around. He's a good coach. You get to the NCAA tournament, you're a good coach. He wins games in the tournament, too. Good coach. But I don't know what Morris is going to be like. I mean, there are a lot of people that want this show to just say fire everybody, and I'm not going to do that. But I don't know what it's going to be yet. I'm not in this camp of buying the candles with Chad Morris playing the role of Christ on the candles. In that love-in camp, what an embarrassing situation that is. And I'm also not in the it's never going to work camp. Even with Bielema, there were a couple people going, this is never going to work. And I'm like, well, you don't know. And then we knew. So I'm not in the it's never going to work camp either with Morris. But, man, I don't know. There's a lot to fix in that football program. They are a mess. That program is a mess. And who could blame Kelly Bryant for not wanting to come here? For 1 year, you get one shot. You get one shot at being on the Giant stage. You could do it here. Here, you would have one shot to get to the Liberty Bowl or the Independence Bowl, if that's even still in business next year. Well, nah, he's not going to waste his time on that. Missouri, you could win the East. You could win the East. They've done it before with less. I'm not saying they will, but they could. Why not? Is Georgia showing signs of cracking in the East? Florida looks like a strong. That's a buy. If you're looking at stocks, Florida's a buy. Is Tennessee a buy yet? They're going to hire Chaney as the offensive coordinator. He's going to be back at Tennessee, where he had so much success with Tyler Bray. Let me tell you something about Chaney, okay? Unless he has an elite quarterback, like he didn't coach Drew Brees. That is nonsense. He was the tight ends coach at Purdue when Drew Brees was there 20 years ago. So he had nothing to do with Drew Brees' success. Absolutely nothing. And look what he's had to work with at Georgia. I mean, this is some just high-level quarterback play there. Does Tennessee have a high-level quarterback that Chaney can hitch his wagon to? Because if Tennessee has quarterbacks like they've been having for the last few years with Dobbs and Garantano and these guys, they're not going anywhere. That's not going to work. They might win 8 games. Kentucky, I can't wait till Kentucky goes back to 6-6 this year, 5-7. Like, that thing is not established. You do realize that, right? Stoops had a senior-laden team, bunch of experienced guys, and they're all moving on. And Kentucky's moving back down to the bottom of the division with Vanderbilt. That's what's going to happen there. And in the West, Gus is going to start calling the plays again at Auburn. Good. He should have never given it up. And the people that told him to give him up were idiots. The only guy who has in his brain the vision for how that offense should work is Gus. He should have never given up play calling duties. Shouldn't have done it. May have had a title by now if he hadn't given it up. I don't think Alabama's going anywhere in spite of getting smacked in the title game. I mean, they'll be fine. They still have Nick. It's really weird how they just got worked. They got out-schemed. Alabama hasn't been out-schemed in 15 years. DeBose was Mike Shula was the coach. So they're not gettable. LSU, man, who knows? Crazy Ed. They've got a 90-year-old offensive coordinator and a quarterback moving on. And the best thing about LSU is we don't have to hear about that stupid kicker from Assumption College anymore. Every game they talk about how last year he kicked in front of 800 people and now he's kicking in front of 80,000. We don't have to hear that anymore, thank God. A&M. That's a buy right there with Jimbo. That stock. I know A&M always finds a way to screw it up, but it might be different this time. Anyway. So that's the thing on college football. And as far as the Razorbacks go, man, Morris may start to turn this thing around, but he may run out of time because people just aren't patient around here. He's not going to get 6 years to be mediocre in football like Dabo did at Clemson. And to say that you could just automatically build what Clemson is here is so disrespectful to Dabo Swinney. one of the top coaches in the whole sport. So looking ahead to the sports weekend, which is something we'll do here in the final segment each time on, or the next thing. We're looking ahead to the next thing here on the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Arkansas's got LSU coming in here for basketball at Bud Walton Arena. So see what goes on with that. Should be a good crowd. It's an evening start at Bud Walton on a Saturday. The weather's not supposed to be great, so maybe that affects the crowd some. I don't know. There'll be a million excuses like always. But Arkansas wraps up a week with back-to-back home games with LSU on Saturday. So see what goes on there. The NFL playoffs is where my attention will be because, as I told you last time, I'll start paying attention to Razorback basketball seriously about February 15th. But the NFL playoffs this weekend, and there are things that will interest people around here, I think, with the NFL playoffs. And the first would be that Hunter Henry is back on the 53-man roster with the Chargers. Now, I don't know if he's going to play Sunday against the Patriots, but he is at least back on the 53-man roster after the knee injury that took him out in one of the offseason workouts earlier in the year. So he's back, and maybe he'll be a contributor. At tight end right now, the Chargers have Virgil Green, who's terrible, and Antonio Gates, who's a Hall of Famer, but he's a little bit on the he's on the 17th green of his career, let's be honest. So Rivers, Henry, can they, in a short amount of time, get a rapport going and get something going if Hunter Henry plays in the game? That'll be exciting to see. That's the noon game Sunday on CBS with the Chargers from L.A., not San Diego, and the New England Patriots. And you always wonder, I mean, we got two old farts playing quarterback in this game too, which is great. Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady, average age 39. So that's fascinating. This is the best football weekend of the year, by the way. The divisional weekend with these four just awesome games. This is fun. This is the weekend last year where you had the Stephon Diggs play with Minnesota. There's always something crazy happening on divisional weekend. The Chiefs, they may have a snow game Saturday at, it's like 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon. They got the Colts coming in with Andrew Luck. Mahomes is just awesome, but it's going to be a foul weather game. So will that translate? What's going to be the Colts have the better defense of the two teams, even though Kansas City's the one seed. So does that give the Colts an edge? So that's going to be interesting. Cowboys on Saturday night, them Cowboys, taking on the Rams out in L.A. And Sean McVay, who is younger than me by, 4 years, I think. He's the head coach of the Rams. And I'm here recording podcasts and watching game shows all day. The Rams, the last time we've seen the Rams, Goff has not been awesome. They've kind of limped around over the last few games of the year. So what about facing the Cowboys defense going out west? That's an intriguing game too. Dax and the Cowboy offense. Prescott. Fabulous. We'll see what happens out there, of course. That's going to be an interesting game. All these games are, I want to see them all. There's not a game that I go, oh, okay, I'll go, do some chores during that one. I want to see all four of these. Chiefs-Colts, early Saturday. Night game Saturday, Cowboys-Rams. Chargers-Patriots, early game on Sunday after church. And then the last game of the weekend is Saints and Eagles. Come on. Drew Brees and the Saints in the Dome taking on the hottest team in the world, the Eagles, who just beat the Bears on the double doink field goal to move on from Wild Card Weekend. So there's not a game here that I'm like, okay, I'll go walk the dog during that one. They're all great. So that's what's going on this weekend. It's fun stuff. I love divisional round weekend. A lot of other stuff going on outside the footprint. There's a lot of coaching stuff going on. People do not like this Cliff Kingsbury hire. Everybody's laughing at it. I mean, I think it's brilliant because it's not the same old retreaded NFL career coordinator being churned up for a head coaching job that he'll obviously fail at. Like, swing for the fences. Take a risk. Roll the dice. What does Arizona have to lose exactly by hiring Kingsbury? Not a fan of Bielema, by the way, but who is at this point? What has Arizona got to lose? They got a young quarterback and a young coach who can mentor him, perhaps. What do they got to lose? They already stink. What, are they going to stink more? So I love that move by Arizona, Kingsbury. That's gonna be fun. It'll be when this all like settles down and everything's squared away. We'll see what we got going on with all this stuff, but this is good stuff. I like the Kingsbury move to Arizona. I would have loved to see him coach Baker Mayfield at Cleveland, but nobody wants the Cleveland job. Oh God, Cleveland. Nobody wants to work for Jimmy Haslam. I don't know if it's because of him or the fact that he owns truck stops. I don't know why. No, but nobody wants to work for Jimmy Haslam. He owns the Browns. Maybe because he's a Vol. He's a VFL. Vol for life. Maybe that's why nobody wants to work for him. I don't know. Looks like I could have got the Browns job. Should have got on Monster.com and figured that out. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the Ruskin is Reigning podcast. Remember to keep leaving those reviews. Thank you. Thank you so much for leaving reviews. And we appreciate that. Subscribe, leave reviews, listen, listen again, listen five times. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your wife, tell your kids. We'll try to keep the cussing to a minimum for the kids. And let's keep it going. Do a couple more next week to react to the sports weekend and then look ahead to the next weekend. And we'll see. Who do you guys want to hear on as far as conversations go? Like, who do you want to hear from? Is something I'd be interested in. Tweet me at Ruskin is Ranting on Twitter. And we should tell you, since we're talking Ruskin is Ranting and all this stuff, it's spelled R-U-S-C-I-N. If you search for R-U-S-K-I-N, I don't know what's going to pop up. R-U-S-C-I-N. And, you know, send me a tweet and tell me who you want to hear from. And we'll try and get them on. I'm going to tell you, though, that I don't know how many coaches we're going to have on. Because there are very few coaches that are actually interesting people. Like, they're in their little bubble world of coaching, and they don't really have any interest outside of that. Mike Nabors would be an exception. Mike Leach would be an exception to coaches who are actually Renaissance men that have interests outside of the sport that they work in. They have a life outside of their job. So I don't know what we'll do there, but tell me who you want to hear from. At Ruskin is Ranting. Would love to hear your suggestions. Thank you again for the great reviews. Keep them coming. Like and subscribe and follow and tweet and share and do all that stuff. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Have yourself a good weekend. I'm Derek Ruskin.